chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud.
All right, welcome in, guys. Farzin Vasugian here with you for another episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast, and it is the eve of the 2024 NFL draft. Yes, we are less than 24 hours away from the NFL draft. We will go over the Chiefs mock draft. I will give you every pick, all seven picks, at least that's how it stands for now, that the Chiefs have going into the draft, and I'll let you guys know my thoughts, who I think the Chiefs will take, and I'll even have a couple of backup picks, meaning that, you know, if the number one ideal guy that I think the Chiefs will get is not there, then I'll have a backup pick or two. Definitely have three guys for the first round and the second round, and then you know, all the other rounds, either two or three guys, because, and I don't want to call it a crapshoot, but it kind of is. After you know, the first couple of rounds, you're not exactly sure who's going to go where. Someone who's projected to go in the seventh round could go in the third round. You just never know with these things sometimes. So it does kind of get a little chaotic, and sometimes some of the draft picks can be a little random after the second and third rounds, essentially in day three. So we will go over all of that, though. There is one big sleeper pick I have in this draft here that I'm really hoping the Chiefs do get. I'll tell you right now, it is in the fifth round. And I really hope the Chiefs can get this guy, because I think he would be a great addition to Kansas City's offense. We'll go over that and much more here on this episode. Appreciate you guys joining me live on Facebook and on YouTube. Appreciate all of you guys tuning in, and those downloading, listening on the podcast version. Appreciate all of you guys joining me on this Wednesday night. Before we move on, I want to let you know this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com for your ticketing needs, whether it's sports, concerts, whatever it may be. Go to SeatGeek.com. And one of the cool things about SeatGeek, before you buy your tickets, you look at the price. There'll be a little dot next to the ticket prices. If you see a green dot, that means you're paying a good price. Definitely want to buy those tickets. If you see a red dot, that means you're paying way too much. And the nice thing about SeatGeek as well, they've got a nice organized system if you want to buy or sell tickets. I'll tell you right now, I was going to a Royals game later this year. Couldn't make it. Selling them online through SeatGeek. Very easy to do. So that's what I like about SeatGeek. Another thing I like about SeatGeek is you can save $20 off your first purchase if you use the promo code Farzin. Just use promo code Farzin and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek.com. So get your tickets. And if you're a new SeatGeek customer, go to your checkout before you pay and enter the promo code Farzin, and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. All right, before we move on, we'll get to the draft. I just want to address this because we have not had a chance to talk about this since the last time we did a podcast. A little bit of an update on the Rashi Rice front, which unfortunately it's not very good. There is now a second lawsuit against Rashi Rice and SMU cornerback Teddy Knox. Here's all I'm going to say, because say what you want, call it a money grab. Say that, you know, these people are just, you know, they're trying to make a big deal out of it because it's a Chiefs player who's involved. At the end of the day, if you don't walk away from the scene like that, if you're not even racing on the highway like that, it wouldn't even come to this point. It just wouldn't. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. We've heard this so many times. You hear a lot of times that, you know, whenever a celebrity, whether it's an athlete, an actor, a politician, whoever, whatever, they're involved in such things like this, they always come to some sort of a settlement. That is my prediction for all of this. I still think Rice will serve. There was a report from Adam Schefter earlier this week that he is going to serve a multi-game suspension of some sort. That's the likely punishment. It's like, wow. Thank you, Adam Schefter. A multi-game suspension is on the way. God, I would have never guessed that in a million years. But hey, that's what Adam Schefter does. That's why he's an insider. So good on Adam Schefter there. But yeah, I mean, listen, you do things like that, you got to suffer the consequences. So But we'll have to see how all of that unfolds. All right. That is out of the way. I mean, I really don't have much else to say other than the things I've already said in past podcasts. So we'll leave all of that there, and we will move on to the NFL draft. Obviously, we spent some time on Monday's podcast talking to Zach and Mark. Big shout out to those guys for coming on the podcast Monday. We broke down a lot of things, a lot of possibilities, some potential moves and all of that in the first round, what the Chiefs could do, certain scenarios with wide receiver, left tackle. Could they maybe surprise us and go at a different position? How much trust do they have in guys like Kadarius Toney? Wanya Morris is a guy that, you know, they definitely gave a vote of confidence to in some of the recent press conferences. What are the Chiefs going to do there? We're not exactly sure. And I think this is kind of it's going to be an interesting draft. I still remember the years when the Chiefs were picking in the top five. Remember the years they got Glenn Dorsey, Tyson Jackson, Eric Berry. It's almost like you knew who they were going to get because they were picking so early. A lot of times with these mock drafts, the first few picks are very easy to predict more times than not. If there's a trade, then yeah, obviously things can just completely shake up. But more times than not, you know, I would say 90% of the time, you know who the top five, top 10 picks are going to be. After that, it does kind of get a little crazy. You see some trades, you see some surprises. Teams move up because they find out that the player they really want, another team is seeking their services. So they make a big move to jump up a few spots to get that player. So it's always very interesting to see. But the Chiefs, you know, now that they're winning a lot more than they have in past years, you see the Chiefs in these positions where they're picking late, which is, you know, great. Andy Reid kind of was joking about this in his press conference that, you know, they're picking 32nd because they've done well. But the bad part is you got to wait a really long time, provided you don't trade up. So this is going to be it's always interesting when you're the last team to pick because you don't know exactly what's going to happen. 31 picks before you. A lot of great players are obviously going to be off the board. I know Brett Veach addressed this in his press conference last week where he said that, this is a very deep class for receivers and offensive tackles, but I think the number he said was 37. You know, once you get to pick 37, a lot of those guys are pretty much off the board, which I find very interesting that he put it that way. So, you know, obviously you want to get the best player possible for your team and try to build the best team possible here because we know how difficult it is. Let me just say this before we start getting into players and whatnot. It's very difficult to go back to back. The Chiefs, even though they just went back to back, this was not their first attempt at going back to back. They had a chance in 2020. Unfortunately, that game at all did not go in their favor, but after, you know, a 1 year Super Bowl drought, when it was Bengals and Rams, the Chiefs get right back to the Super Bowl, beat the Eagles, go back, you know, a year later, beat the 49ers again. And now they have an opportunity to do something that's never been done before. And that is three-peat. You know, how can they make this happen? And I think that's the goal of this draft here. There are certainly possibilities. There are certainly things that you can do in this draft to find some players, not just in the first round, but in a lot of rounds. Now, I will say this because there is some breaking news that came today, and I think this impacts the Chiefs in a pretty big manner here involving the Cincinnati Bengals, where they are, well, the report that came out from Adam Schefter is that their defensive end, Trey Hendrickson, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL today, he's demanding a trade. He's set to make $15 million, but wants more than that. They're already in a weird situation with wide receiver T. Higgins, who is under the franchise tag right now, but, you know, he did a recent interview on TV and saying he hopes that he stays a Cincinnati Bengal. Lejarius Sneed did say something similar along those lines, though it doesn't seem like the drama that's going on in Cincinnati is similar to what the Chiefs had with Lejarius Sneed. Nonetheless, the Bengals have two big-name players, Hendrickson and Higgins, who essentially want out, according to reports. That's, again, you know, things can change, of course. Now, is it possible that both Higgins and Hendrickson stay? Yeah. But, man, if you're Cincinnati, you better win. You better win a championship this year, because if not, I don't think Jamar Chase has been paid yet. Unless I have that incorrect, let me just double check on that real quickly. You obviously paid Joe Burrow, who is great when he's available. And that's not a guarantee. And no, Jamar Chase has not been paid yet. He is entering, let's see, one, two, three, the fourth year of his deal, his rookie deal, that is. So that's a guy that is going to be asking for a lot of money in the near future. So you have to think about him, T. Higgins, Hendrickson. Those guys can all be free agents last year. They picked up the fifth yard on Chase. Yeah, I do see that, Joshua. I appreciate that. So here's my point, though, because if the Bengals are saying, nope, we're going to keep everyone and try our best to win with this core unit now, yeah, you better try to do it, because if not, guess what? You got to try to pay Jamar Chase in the near future. T. Higgins is going to want a big deal. Trey Hendrickson is going to want a big deal. And you're not going to be able to re-sign everyone. The problem is they paid Joe Burrow, who, again, is a very good quarterback when he's available. You know, people always love to mention the fact that Burrow's 3-1 against Mahomes. Okay, well, half of the seasons Mahomes has started for the Chiefs, he's won a Super Bowl. Half of the seasons Burrow's played in the NFL, half of those seasons have ended in season-ending injuries. Now, yeah, the other half has ended in him at least reaching the Final Four of the NFL, but hasn't won a Super Bowl in those two opportunities right there. Whereas Mahomes, he's been to the big game 4 times, has been to the AFC title game 6 times, won 3 of them. So every year Mahomes has started for the Chiefs, he's won a Super Bowl, has reached the AFC championship game. Now, the reason I mentioned the Bengals and the number 18 pick is if this whole thing with T. Higgins goes south to the point where they absolutely need to consider a new wide receiver, man, I'm telling you right now, Cincinnati is a team that's probably going to consider a wide receiver, probably A.D. Mitchell from Texas, maybe the other Texas receiver, Xavier Worthy. I know those are two very popular names in Kansas City. So, you know, I don't know how many mock drafts had Cincinnati taking a wide receiver. As of Wednesday afternoon, that has probably changed. I think there are a lot of people that might be redoing their mock drafts one last time. Or maybe they haven't published their last mock draft yet, and they're doing that now, the final version of it. And it might include Cincinnati taking a wide receiver in the first round. So if you're Kansas City, and let me just go behind Cincinnati, because it's the Rams. I don't think they're taking a receiver, given who they have. The Steelers might be in the market for a receiver. I don't think the Dolphins at number 21 are going to be taking a wide receiver. The Eagles, I don't believe so. Although on PFF, it does show wide receiver as their one of their needs. The Vikings are probably going to go more towards a quarterback than anything else. So I don't know at 23 if they want anyone. The Cowboys, boy, they have a lot of needs. I don't know if wide receiver is their top priority, though. Packers, I don't think they're looking for one. I think the Bucks, they just paid Mike Evans. The Cardinals, they might get Marvin Harrison Jr. instead. So I don't think you're competing against Arizona in that first round. You've got the Bills, who, you know, might want to find a suitable replacement for Stephon Diggs. Yeah, they have a couple of solid receivers right now, but they might be in the market to add one in the first round. The Lions just paid Amon-Ra St. Brown, and wide receiver was never really a need for them anyway. The Ravens, they might look for one to try to replace Odell Beckham Jr. The 49ers, there are a lot of rumors right now with Brandon Ayuk. So there are, if we go through... So the 49ers, the Ravens, Bills. I'm going to exclude the Cardinals right now because I think if they take a wide receiver, they can do it with the 4th pick. I don't think the Bucks, don't think the Packers. Cowboys, I don't think so. Vikings, I don't think so. Eagles, okay, maybe. Steelers, possibly. And then the Bengals. So from picks 18 through 31, right before the Chiefs pick, there are 6 teams that very likely might want a wide receiver in the first round. Part of it is because they need a wide receiver. The other part of it, too, is like, look, they want to win a championship. Well, who stands in their way of all of these teams? it's the Chiefs. The Chiefs stand in everyone's way right now because of how good they are. Even with a bad year last year, they still found a way. They flipped that switch in the playoffs. Still was not pretty in the postseason, but they found a way to do it. So another reason to take a wide receiver, if you're any of those six teams, is to not let Kansas City get one of these wide receivers. Because I think everyone knows, everyone with a brain, which, you know, a lot of these general managers are pretty smart. That's why they have the position that they have. They know that Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell or McConkey, if those guys land in Kansas City, that is great news for the Chiefs offense, which has Andy Reid as its head coach and play caller, which has Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. They already have Hollywood Brown. Yeah, Rashi Rice might be suspended a few games, but when he comes back, this is going to be an offense that's going to be very hard to stop because they also have a guy by the name of Travis Kelce, who's a tight end goat. So this is one of those situations where, you know, if you're one of those six teams I mentioned, yeah, you definitely want to take a wide receiver, not just because you need one, but to prevent Kansas City from getting one. I mean, we're playing chess here, not checkers. If you're Kansas City, and I don't know what the cost is going to be to do this, and this is why I was a little surprised L'Jarius Sneed got traded so soon in the offseason. I thought he would have been traded on draft day. I really did. Because maybe you could have used L'Jarius Sneed as some sort of trade bait to move up in the draft. Instead, they ended up getting a third round pick for next year's draft. So looking ahead of the Bengals at number 18, you have the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. You have the Seahawks at 16, the Colts at 15, the Saints at 14. Those are probably teams who are going to be willing to trade with you. Now, going from 14, 15, 16, 17, and then down to 32 is not a very ideal trade there. So if you're Kansas City, how do you sweeten the pot there? How do you convince these teams that, hey, look, we can give you these sets of draft picks and it can help you out? I would imagine you would have to include a third round pick and then throw in a day three pick if you're the Chiefs. Because when those teams I mentioned from 14 through 17, the Saints, Colts, Seahawks, and Jaguars, those are not teams that are really like fear the Chiefs in a direct way. You know, they don't view the Chiefs as close direct competition. Whereas the Raiders obviously do at number 13, the Broncos at number 12, do. The Bengals at 18, they won't ever trade with the Chiefs. Hell no. No way. You know, another team the Chiefs could trade with if they don't have, and I know Mark mentioned this on Monday's podcast, but another team the Chiefs could consider trading with would be Minnesota at number 11, because Minnesota already has the number 23 pick. So if Minnesota does not have the quarterback that they want, then maybe they trade down, keep the number 23 pick, but then also possess the 32nd pick in the draft. So those are certainly some options as well that Kansas City might look at. Because when you look at, and I'll just pick the Saints, for example, I don't know if the Saints would be willing to go from 14 to 32 that easily. Whereas the Vikings, they've got the number 11 pick. And again, if the quarterback that they really want is not available at 11, or if they're not able to trade up, then they might be in favor of owning a couple of first round picks in the later portion of Thursday's draft. That might be the one team the Chiefs could use as a trade partner tomorrow. So I'll leave it at that. I'm bringing this up because of the whole news with T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson. I mean, if you're Cincinnati, I think wide receiver does become a pretty important position of need in this draft. I'll read a couple of comments right now. Robert says, I would love to see the Chiefs take a wide receiver. Is there any free agent tackles available that can split snaps with Wanya? I don't know if you really want to split snaps with someone. You really want to have a viable full-time left tackle if you're Kansas City, especially when you have a franchise quarterback. I think a lot of teams, because of how important the left tackle position is. Splitting snaps might not. Now, if you split snaps because of injuries, yeah, sure, that happens. I know the Chiefs like Wanya Morris. They really do. So we'll see what they do there. Robert also says, part of me believes the Chiefs don't draft wide receiver until very late in the draft. They trusted our core last year, added a piece this year. Not sure that they swing for one early in the draft. Yeah, this is kind of an interesting little idea here. If you're Kansas City, you could maybe focus on left tackle with your first round pick. And then maybe go defensive interior, your second round pick. And because there are a couple of good wide receivers in the later rounds, maybe you get a little lucky and find a guy like Puka Nacua. Not easy. Easier said than done. So we'll see there. Quentin says, wide receiver and left guard. Are there any under the radar wide receivers? Yes, Quentin. There is actually one big under the radar wide receiver I have, and I'll get to that later. It's in my fifth round. Jeff's asking offensive tackle in the first round. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Just kind of depends on who's available. Again, at 32, unless the Chiefs trade up, it's hard to project who's going to be available at that point. I would argue if you stay at 32, there's a chance the Chiefs will have their ideal left tackle as opposed to their ideal wide receiver available to them. Because I think a lot of wide receivers are going to go in that first round before the Chiefs pick. So if the Chiefs really, really want a wide receiver, that's why I'm saying you got to consider trading up with a team before the 18th pick. Because from 18, which is what Cincinnati has, and after that, there's a good chance you might start seeing some wide receivers go off the board. Obviously, you're going to see Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze. I mean, those guys are going to go in the top 10, maybe top 15. Maybe one of them falls a little bit. But other than that, man, I think once we get to pick 15, you're going to start seeing a lot of wide receivers go off the board there. So it'll be very interesting for sure. Jeff's asking, is this a show up or shut up year for Tony? Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, Tony was a guy who was supposed to be their number one wide receiver going into last year. And that was even the thought whether Juju Smith-Schuster re-signed or not. Obviously, he moved on to New England. So this was Tony's position from the get-go. He was supposed to be the guy at wide receiver last year and was a complete opposite. And Andy Reid has said this a few times now, mentioned, you know, trying to stay healthy, that's the important part of it. Okay. I mean, I guess there's one last chance here, man. If you can stay healthy, great. Go do what you're supposed to do. But if you're not healthy, then, you know, this is, that's probably your last chance there. You're going to be a free agent, and it's going to be very hard to convince teams to want to sign you. You would essentially need to go to a team that's desperate for a wide receiver with potential but has not been able to live up to the hype yet. And those are generally teams that aren't very good in general. So, yeah, this is a very important year for Kadarius Toney, 100%. Dwayne says, I agree. Offensive line, then working secondary defense. If our receivers stay healthy, we're good. Yeah, that's certainly important as well. All right, let me get into my mock draft here. So let's go to number 32. I've got the Chiefs taking Arizona left tackle Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan, he was a three-year starter who is a great pass protector. He allowed 5 sacks in 11 games in 2021. Now, he played much better after that. In 2022, he allowed just 1 sack in 10 games. The following year, this past year, that is, he allowed just a pair of sacks in 12 games played for Arizona. And as far as quarterback pressures allowed goes, he went from allowing 15 in 2021, 14 in 2022, and 11 in 2023. Now, a lot of the scouting reports out there do say that he does need to improve on his strength. He's 6'6", 320 pounds, which is pretty good for a left tackle. So overall, I think this would be a great pickup for the Chiefs. I always like it whenever there is an offensive player, or any player for that matter, that has a lot of starting experience, a lot of snaps played in college for 2-3 years. That certainly can bode well, making that transition into the NFL for sure. All right, another player who I have, if Jordan Morgan has not been taken, I think Georgia wide receiver Ladd McConkey, That's someone who might be available as well. Pretty fast receiver. It does kind of have the Mecole Hardman potential replacement right there. If the Chiefs do draft a guy like McConkey, I really do think he could replace Mecole Hardman and take care of his duties. Could maybe handle special teams duties, also be a good slot receiver for the Chiefs offense, maybe even start a little more sooner than expected, depending on how many games Rashee Rice gets suspended. Obviously, the receivers I would love to have, either Mitchell or Worthy, but realistically, I don't think they're available at number 32. Whenever PFF had their mock draft, which they do a good job of updating, whenever you did their mock draft a month ago, both Mitchell and Worthy were available at number 32. In fact, Mitchell was available at 32. Worthy was available at 64. So, you know, for what it's worth, in that mock draft, you could have gotten both Texas wide receivers. But now, both of them are expected to go before the Chiefs pick. I've even seen some mock drafts where Xavier Worthy goes number 31 to the 49ers, which would be a huge blow, being just one pick away. But, you know, you just can't do anything about that sometimes. That's just the way things work out. So, and the 49ers, who knows exactly what's going to happen with them, especially the situation with Brandon Ayuk. They've had some weird, like, wide receiver drama the past couple of years. Who was the wide receiver that was rumored to possibly leave? Debo Samuel, that's who it was. Debo Samuel was a guy that, you know, a lot of people thought would not return to the 49ers last season, but ended up playing with the 49ers. Almost won a Super Bowl with them. And then this year, it's now Brandon Ayuk, where there are some rumors out there that he might not be available, or at least might not play for the 49ers in 2024. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But if they do draft a wide receiver, boy, that would be a big blow to Kansas City, because it's very likely a wide receiver that the Chiefs would want. Looking at the second round, if the Chiefs do not get a wide receiver in the first round, there's a wide receiver I do like in the second round from UCF, Javon Baker. Really good for depth purposes for an offense that needs some help at the wide receiver position. Certainly fits Kansas City's description, to say the least. 52 catches for 1,139 yards and 7 touchdowns his last year at UCF. He had 4 fewer catches from the year before. He's good at one-on-one situations there. Really good for sideline situations. So you want someone on a slant route, someone to go near the sidelines, make a big play, a big catch there. Javon Baker is your guy. He can certainly do that. If the Chiefs do not get an offensive tackle in the first round, there are a couple of options at number 64 that will likely be available. First up is TCU left tackle. Both of these are from the Big 12, by the way. TCU left tackle Brandon Coleman, 6'6", 320, just like Jordan Morgan. He has played some a little bit of right tackle and right guard. Played almost 1,000 snaps at left tackle in 2022. In 2023, he played 465 snaps at left tackle and then 255 snaps at left guard. So this is a guy who can play a lot of different positions. He's played 4 of the 5 offensive line positions during his time at TCU. Another player that the Chiefs could consider, not too far from Kansas City, would be right across the street, 40 miles away, Lawrence, Kansas. Kansas left tackle Dominic Puny played left guard in 2022 and then converted to left tackle in 2023. And the things that scouts really liked about him is his his ability to step up and make a big block. His power, for sure, as a left tackle, certainly was showcased in 2023, something they didn't see much of as a left guard. So now there are some people who do think that he could move back to guard. So there are a lot of teams out there that need a guard. There are a lot of teams out there that need a tackle. And I think there are some teams out there, a lot of teams, that might consider a guy like Dominic Puny because of his ability to play multiple positions there. So that versatility is nice. People always love versatility in a draft, for sure. All right, moving on to round 3. This one I think might be a surprise to some people. Would not be a surprise to me, and I think would certainly be a good one for the Chiefs to make, would be Iowa tight end Eric Aull. Would be a good number 2 tight end opposite of Travis Kelce. Now, the Chiefs do have a couple of tight ends they really like right now. Noah Gray and Irv Smith Jr., who they got from the Cincinnati Bengals in free agency. But could they consider someone in round three to compete against those two guys to have the top spot behind Travis Kelce on the depth chart? Certainly something that Kansas City might have to consider here, especially with Travis Kelce. You know, he's going to turn 35 in October, so you got to consider someone that they might be able to groom and maybe learn behind Travis Kelce, kind of like how Patrick Mahomes learned from Alex Smith during his rookie season in 2017. So that's something to consider. If they don't want to go that route, and if they want to consider an interior offensive lineman to learn behind Joe Tooney, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, because the likelihood of all three of them returning in 2025 might be slim. So maybe someone like Kansas State guard Cooper Beebe would be a very good guy to consider. He did play left tackle in 2021. He spent a majority of his time at left guard in 2022 and 2023. And he's also from the Kansas City area, from KCK. So would be pretty cool. Second year in a row to draft a hometown kid to the Chiefs. And round four, there's a player that I'm just kind of drawn to, and I'm a little surprised he's expected to be available very late. In some of my previous mock drafts, I had him, I took him in the third round, and PFF would give a bad grade for that. So I took him in the fourth round, and they gave a better grade for that. So apparently, PFF think that he's a reach at the third round at number 95, whereas after 95, the Chiefs' next pick is at 131. It's Duke defensive tackle Dwayne Carter. Now, the Chiefs have done a really good job of bringing back a lot of their defensive linemen. Obviously, the big name that they brought back was Chris Jones, so a new five-year deal. But they brought back Tershawn Wharton. They brought back Derek Nnadi. They brought back Mike Pinnell, who I'm very excited to see come back because the Chiefs brought him back during the 2023 season. And when he joined the team in 2019, he was pretty instrumental in helping the Chiefs defensive line improve against a run and help them make a run for the Super Bowl. They also brought in Terrell Suggs that same year midseason, and that helped them out quite a lot. So I'm very curious to see if the Chiefs do want to add more muscle on that defensive line. And I think Dwayne Carter would be a good guy to add, someone who could be good in rotation. Had just two sacks last year. He had eight in 2022. So obviously a couple of inconsistencies there. He had 18 hurries in 2023, whereas in 2022, he had 39. So was a much better player that year, statistically speaking, in 2022. If he had the same level of production, I would imagine he's guaranteed to, at the very least, be a day two draft pick. But I have him in the fourth round here, so he would be most likely available on day three. Another defensive tackle to consider would be LSU's Mekhi Wingo, I believe is how you pronounce it. He had nine sacks in the last two seasons. Now, he is a little undersized at that position, so that might be someone who doesn't start or play a lot of snaps consistently, but might be more of a rotational guy, kind of like Dwayne Carter. All right, we're going to go to round five now, and this is actually what I'm very excited about here. So I have a couple of players that I think would be very good for Kansas City. The first one I have at 159 would be Holy Cross wide receiver Jalen Coker, who statistically looked pretty good. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say right off the bat, Farzin, this is a guy from the Patriot League. Competition there is not as big versus the Big 12 or the SEC or so on and so forth. I know, but hear me out on this one here. Because I'll tell you right now, I'd be thrilled if they get Coker. If they find a way to get one of the Texas wide receivers and Coker later in the draft, I would be thrilled for this. I really would. If you look at his numbers at Holy Cross from his senior year, Coker had 59 catches for 1,035 yards and 15 touchdowns. This guy was a huge part of the passing game. They didn't really have anyone else that was reliable behind Coker in the pass catching department. Now, if you look at Holy Cross's offense, and I don't have the name of the quarterback, but I'm going to try to look this up. No, Apple, I do not want to update my phone right now. But if you look at Holy Cross, their quarterback, he threw for just a little over 1,700 yards, which obviously is not a lot for a college football quarterback. Not only that, he was also the leader in rushing yards. Matthew Sluka, I believe he's going to be a senior this year. So interesting guy there. He was also the leading rusher for Holy Cross, which is interesting. 1,200 yards scrambling and 9 touchdowns on the ground. Their running back, Jordan Fuller, he's a returning player. He had 18 touchdowns on the ground. So Holy Cross is a very dominant rushing, kind of like the Baltimore Ravens, where they have a good running back, group as a whole, and they have a quarterback who's also very good at running the football. And they do have some bright spots at the wide receiver position, like Zay Flowers, but doesn't get as much attention because the Ravens are more of a run-heavy team. And that's kind of how Holy Cross is. So the fact that, you know, Holy Cross is a run-heavy team and Coker, off 59 catches, was able to produce, surpass the 1,000-yard mark, get 15 catches, that's pretty good. And I'll say this. When you look at his other stats, in 2022, he was just less than 100 yards shy of the 1,000-yard receiving mark. He had 914 yards and 11 touchdowns. In 2021, he had 50 catches. 2 years in a row, he had 50 catches for 663 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then in 2020, he had just 4 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. So he had 31 touchdowns in his 4 years with the Crusaders. 6'3", 213 pounds. Obviously not the traditional size you see with wide receivers in this offense, especially ever since we've had Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. But now I think, I think you got to consider more guys like this, because they had Juju Smith-Schuster, who, again, bigger than most of the receivers they've had. They had Marquez Valdes-Scantling for a couple of years. I think Jalen Coker would be a really good guy to bring in. Again, I like the height, I like the size, I like the production, and I think that's someone that would be kind of an under the radar guy, someone that definitely could have the potential to maybe be like a Puka Nacua in this draft class. So I really hope they get Jalen Coker in the 5th round. I would be thrilled for this pickup here. Another possibility, maybe if they want to go defense, we haven't really talked much defense in this draft. Kentucky linebacker Trevin Wallace could maybe help add some depth with Willie Gay moving on to New Orleans. The other 5th-round pick the Chiefs have at 173, another local guy, went to a college not too far from Kansas City, from Mizzou, running back Cody Schrader. I know when I had this in one of my mock drafts, a lot of Mizzou fans were pretty excited about it, which is natural. People always love it when their favorite pro team drafts someone from their favorite college. I mean, why wouldn't you? That's always an exciting part of sports in the draft. But Schrader was pretty good during his time at Mizzou. Ran for 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns, over 2,300 yards, and 23 touchdowns in the last 2 years at Mizzou. Has pretty good vision, good elusiveness. He's a physical running back, and I really wasn't able to understand why he's falling. Maybe size could be a reason why. Isaiah Pacheco almost went undrafted. This is a guy that, you know, when I read the scouting report, when I look up his highlights, he does remind me a little bit of Isaiah Pacheco. Has that physicality in him where he just welcomes the contact from defensive players. So that would be good to see. Another defensive player, Schrader's not available. Not that Schrader's a defensive player, but I'm just saying in general, another defensive player they can consider in this draft would be Miles Cole, edge defender from Texas Tech. Patrick Mahomes would be thrilled for this, of course. Now, he is a 6-year player, so he is one of the older players, might be the oldest player entering this draft. He had 4 sacks after being given more snaps here. So, you know, the guy's turning 24 years old very soon. So that might be one reason why he is falling in the later rounds of the draft, but still might be able to serve some sort of be able to offer something to some defenses out there. And then in round 7, if Cody Schrader is not available, there might be a TCU running back. This is the second time I've got a TCU player on this mock draft here. That would be Imani Bailey. He ran for 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2023. He had 247 yards and 2 touchdowns the year before. So definitely made a big step up his 2023 season. He had 640 yards and 8 touchdowns in 2021. So kind of a step back in 2022. Now, one big thing I really liked about him, and this is kind of a surprise to me that he's falling a little bit, but in 2023, out of the 223 rush attempts he forced 70 missed tackles. So very elusive, very good short yardage guy. And I know that's something Kansas City has struggled with for a couple of years now. So maybe that's someone that could come in and maybe help you improve in those short yardage situations. Other possibilities in the seventh round at 221, assuming the Chiefs don't trade up, would be Auburn safety Jalen Simpson. He has played some cornerbacks, so a guy that definitely can play multiple positions on defense, good versatility. He's a good defensive back blitzer. Spags loves that. Spags absolutely would take a player like Jalen Simpson. And then you have Illinois wide receiver Casey Washington, who had 49 catches for 670 yards and 4 touchdowns. No touchdowns before that in his career. He dropped just 3 out of 83 catchable passes in 2023. So if you're a Chiefs fan, yeah, you like that. Especially after the year you had with drops, leading the league in drops by a wide margin. So limitation on those drops would be key. I know, you know, as we bring up drops here, when you go back to Jalen Coker, who I have in the fifth round, that's a guy who does not drop a lot of passes either. So there are a couple of late round gems at the wide receiver position. There was a question about that earlier, I think from Quentin, is, you know, who are some under the radar wide receivers in this draft? Well, I give you a couple of them. Jalen Coker, I'm telling you right now, okay, for those of you watching and listening right now, if the Chiefs do get Jalen Coker, come back to my Facebook page or my social media just in general. I will be ecstatic if this happens because I really do believe that will be an under the radar. So if Coker goes to a team like the Bills or the Bengals or the Eagles, the Rams teams that do have good quarterbacks already, I'm telling you right now, Jalen Coker is going to thrive in the NFL. I really do. I think people are going to, this is going to be one of those players. People are going to look back and say, why the hell did he fall this far in the draft? I really do believe that. So, you know, it's one of those players who, you know, go into one of those smaller schools and one of those smaller conferences, they don't get a lot of attention. You know, you never see their highlight reels on ESPN Saturday nights or Sunday mornings. Before you get ready for all the NFL pregame shows. So I don't know. I'd like to see, Jalen Coker come to Kansas City. That'd be nice to see. All right. Let me read some comments before we get out of here. Reminder, we will be doing the Red Friday live chat, but it will not be Friday night. Obviously that interferes with the NFL draft. So we're going to do it Friday morning. Not exactly sure what time. So just, make sure you're following me on Facebook and YouTube and, you'll be locked in. You'll be ready to, get it notified whenever we go live. We're absolutely going live just moments after the Chiefs make their first round pick. And we'll do the same thing again on Friday for the second round and the third round pick. So just be on the lookout for that. Keith says, Devontae Walker out of UNC would be a great second or third round pick at wide receiver. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, certainly. If you don't pick one in the first round, that's possible. Jeff's asking, what is the likelihood of finding a partner to trade up with in the first round? Yeah, I mentioned some of those teams earlier, Jeff. Let me see if I can pull that list back up. Because the Bengals are not going to trade with you. Probably not the Miami Dolphins. Probably not the Eagles. Probably not the Cowboys. Not the Bills, for sure. Definitely not the Ravens or the 49ers. So teams before the Bengals at 18, such as the Jaguars at 17, Seahawks at 16, maybe the Colts at 15, maybe the Saints at 14, possibly the Vikings, if you can give them a really good offer at 11, because the Vikings already have another first round pick and they can kind of control things in the late first round with two first round picks during that time frame. Certainly not a bad situation to be in if they do not get the quarterback that they would like to be available at number 11, assuming they don't trade up. But you would maybe have to offer, if you want the number 11 pick, man, you got to obviously swap first round picks and then add a day two and a day three pick. I think that is the most reasonable one. And even then, I don't know if Minnesota would still accept that. Again, just kind of depends on who's available, what they want, and how badly the Chiefs really want to make that move. Maybe the Chiefs even offer something from next year's draft. They do have 2 third-round picks right now, one of them being from the Legarius Sneed trade for next year's draft, that is. So there's that possibility as well. As far as the 18th pick, I mean, that is Cincinnati there. I mean, I don't think Cincinnati is going to want to do any kind of deal whatsoever with Kansas City. And why would you? I think this guy's that multiple positions are important. Yeah. Whenever you have guys who are versatile and can play, if you can play multiple positions on the offensive line, if you can do multiple things on offense as a receiver and a running back, a safety and a quarterback, teams love it. Coaches love it 100%. If you're someone that can excel on defense and also do some good things on special teams, whether it's as a blocker, as a tackler, as a returner, that is, you know, that helps your value as well. Yeah, Jalen Coker, that's how you spell his name. Yeah, check out his highlights and read some of the scouting reports right there. Quinton also says Cody Schrader would be a good replacement for Jet. Yeah, listen, I love Jerick McKinnon. I really, really do. I think he's done some, like, this guy's been a blue-collar worker for Kansas City's offense. He really has. And I'm glad he's been a part of multiple rings. Obviously, like, his big moment was sliding when every single player would love to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. That's what they dream of. But instead, you know, he took one for the team because they had to eat up a lot of that clock and try to secure that Super Bowl win, which is exactly what they did. So I was glad he got to play in this past Super Bowl as well. I was hoping he would have had a touchdown, but not the case, but did contribute a little bit. The thing with McKinnon, yeah, he's getting up there in age, but it's not like he was, you know, a massive workhorse like Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley's like, what's Todd Gurley's age? Like 27, 28? He's already out of the league. Whereas McKinnon, you know, he wasn't used a whole lot early on in his career. So there were, you know, he still had some gas left in that tank. But, you know, at some point, do you consider just moving on? I'd love for him to come back. Because here's the thing you got to understand. Kansas City does a very good job of utilizing all of their running backs. If you look back at that Chicago Bears game, famously known as Taylor Swift's Chiefs debut, all three running backs scored for the Chiefs. Jerick McKinnon, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Isaiah Pacheco. One of them scored twice. I can't remember who it was. But all three of them got involved, and they got in on the scoring. So even though you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback and Travis Kelce as your tight end, you're obviously a pass-heavy offense. This is a pass-first team. The Chiefs still find a way to utilize not just one running back, not just two running backs, all of their running backs. Do you see it on a consistent basis week in and week out? No, you don't. But whenever it's out there, yeah. If there's the opening for it, if there's a possibility to make it happen, the Chiefs will do it. Now, who do the Chiefs have right now? They brought back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Isaiah Pacheco's still on the team. They got Luis Riz-Zamit, who I think can be very good in the NFL at that position. I would not be as confident as a wide receiver because route running, you know, the need to change direction in a quick manner might be something that he struggles with, but as a running back, hand off the ball to him and just look for the holds. That's something he's done a lot of in rugby. The biggest challenge for a guy like Luis Riz-Zamit, who's 6'3 and just super fast, would be putting on a helmet, because in rugby, you don't have a helmet. In the NFL, you have to wear a helmet, and your vision is going to be limited at that point. He has to learn that. They were talking about this on SiriusXM NFL Radio over the weekend. And you got to learn how to deal with that limited vision, because that is going to be a big difference. And I know they're not practicing right now. They're doing off-season workouts. But I would imagine he's already put on a helmet in training and has tried to figure out the whole vision thing. So then, you know, in terms of OTAs, training camp, I'm very curious to see how he does. And then in the preseason, I'll tell you right now, this preseason, listen, if you guys have listened to me for a long time, you guys know very well, I do not give a damn about OTAs and training camp. Whenever people drool over OTA highlights, I'm like, why? The Chiefs put a video of Justin Ross running a route, which there was no defense. And I'm seeing Chiefs fans lose their minds. They're like, oh my God, he looks good. There's no defense. It's OTAs. Like, chill, people. I remember Darian Kennard was going up against an assistant coach holding pads, and people were going crazy over that. I never saw that Darian Kennard transition into the regular season. So, I don't know, man. I try to limit my excitement for highlights like that. But I gotta admit, a little bit of hypocrisy here. I'm actually very curious to see some players in this preseason, in training camp, in OTAs. Luis Rizamet, Hollywood Brown, Carson Wentz. You know who I really am excited to see? The punt god, Matt Araiza. I really need to see that guy. Here's what I want to see. I want to see the Chiefs in the preseason get the football like in their own 10-yard line. And I just want them to like lose some yardage on that very short drive. And then I want to see Araiza punt the football from his own end zone. I just want to see him do it a couple times. That's how good we have it in Kansas City. We're on the verge of three-peating, and we're excited about a punter, right? A punter. That's how fun things are in Kansas City. Keith says, Reggie Brown out of James Madison would be a great late-round wide receiver. Yeah, for sure. And here's another thing, too, to keep in mind with receiver. When you have a very good quarterback, there are a lot of wide receivers that could make that transition easy. I've always been a firm believer that great quarterbacks can win with any group of pass catchers. Yeah, you obviously need some good ones, of course. Listen, Brady had a lot of great players. Tim Brown, Gronk, to name a couple. Edelman, Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison. He had Reggie Wayne. He had Demaryius Thomas. He's had some good players as well. So every elite quarterback has big name players at the pass catching positions. Everyone has them, but those guys also definitely helped make names out of guys that no one really knew. For example, Julius Thomas, the tight end for the Broncos. Nobody knew who the hell he was, but when Peyton Manning threw the ball to him, he turned into one of the best tight ends in the league in 2012 and 2013 and in 2014 as well, I think. But then when he left for Jacksonville or Miami, I can't remember which team it was, Julius Thomas was not the same. So, yeah, when you have an elite quarterback throwing the football at your direction, that definitely makes a difference. So whether it's Coker, whether it's Reggie Brown or any of these guys out there, I think they can definitely make that transition easily because of who might be throwing the ball to them. Matt says, Vikings trading up. I think 19th and 23rd picks are the picks to watch for trading up. Okay, so who's 19th? 19th would be the Rams. 23 would be the Vikings. The 19th pick is interesting, Matt, because I said this on Monday on the podcast, but if you didn't hear it, let me repeat it. Once one of those Texas wide receivers go, whether it's Mitchell or Worthy, I think Mitchell goes before Worthy, but once Mitchell goes, I think that is when the Chiefs become aggressive and they're going to start calling teams. So, and I do think, you know, after Harrison, Adunze, and Neighbors, I think the next time you see a wide receiver get taken off the board would either be number 15, although I think the Colts will go elsewhere. After that, I think it'd be number 18 with the Bengals. Again, this is obviously assuming, you know, no trades, which obviously we're going to see trades, but trades are hard to predict, so we just never know. I'm just going off, you know, what we have right now. So if the Chiefs really want their guy, they got to be ready to trade in the somewhere in the teens or early 20s. I'd be thrilled with a guy like Xavier Worthy. I think he can do so much in this offense. I know he's got the drop issues, but I think, you know, I think he can make up for it with his production. I really do. Rue says we need Alvin Kamara to replace Jerick McKinnon. Yeah, that'd be a great addition to having Kansas City's offense for sure. Robert says time for the VGK Dallas. Yeah, I'm that's what I'm doing after this. I'm actually going to get on the treadmill and I'm going to turn on the game on YouTube TV. I went to a VGK and Dallas game in Vegas last year for the Western Conference Finals. I wrote this on Sunday. I said the hockey playoffs are better than the NFL playoffs and March Madness combined. And I stand by that, brother. I really do. I am very surprised how hockey is so underappreciated in America. It's exactly like what football has. It's physical, it's violent, chaotic, can be dramatic sometimes. Even in like a scoreless game can still be very entertaining if you pay close attention to it. I love hockey, man. I really do. I would love for Kansas City to get a hockey team. VGK would still be my team. But if the VGK, if they're not in it, then yeah, I would definitely pull for the Kansas City team. Rue is asking, how do you think Hollywood Brown is going to do next season? Look, I know a lot of people keep pointing to his stats. Look who's been throwing the ball to him. Lamar Jackson, and then the carousel of QBs in Arizona. Like, he's never had a reliable deep pass thrower in his career until now. So, you know, praying for him to stay healthy, because if he does, he is going to go off with Patrick Mahomes. I really do believe that. I really do. And, you know, he and Mahomes are getting things done right now. Looking good. And I get it. It's just, you know, on their own training, no OTAs, no defense, no actual games. But this kind of stuff to get down early is very important for sure. Timothy says, do you see KC drafting a tight end? If so, then who do you like? Yeah, I mentioned in my mock draft in the third round, I do like the kid from Iowa, Eric Aull. I think he could be a very good number two tight end opposite of Kelsey. I know the Chiefs like Noah Gray. They also brought in Irv Smith Jr. So there are certainly some options. Blake Bell is not back. Jody Fortson has moved on. So the Chiefs certainly might add another tight end in this draft. How early or how late, I'm not sure. I think a third round would be a surprise to a lot of people, but I think they would like to get a guy like Eric Aull for sure. Brock Bowers, I don't think that's really in play for them in this draft. Not that he's a bad player. It's just, you know, I think Kansas City has other pressing concerns. The 23rd pick won't be the Vikings because of their trade up. Yeah, possibly. If there's a quarterback they really want, they're going to have to trade up to get it, because Chicago's getting a QB, Washington's getting a QB, New England's getting a QB. You're going to get three QBs off the board in the first three picks. And then after that, I mean, the Giants, they just paid Daniel Jones, so I don't know. The Broncos, the Raiders. Yeah. There are some teams ahead of them. I take it back. No, Minnesota's still, they're ahead of them with the 11th pick. I was thinking of the other first round pick from Minnesota, but there's no doubt that Denver and Vegas, they'll trade up if they need to, or they'll at least try. So there are a lot of things to consider there. If you're Minnesota. Noteworthy, if he falls to us at 32, fine, but no trade up for him. Adonai Mitchell, Thomas, or best tackle available at 23. If you trade up. Okay. I got you. Thoughts on Troy Franklin from Oregon? Yeah, that's a really good question. I had him in one of my mock drafts. A lot of people not really a big fan of Troy Franklin. They feel like he's maybe the Sky Moore of this draft. I don't know. I think it would... Listen, I don't think he's terrible as some people are making him out to be. But he would not be like one of my top five choices if the Chiefs are... still at number 32 and he's available. I would much rather prefer an offensive tackle over him. But if Jordan Morgan's gone, if both Texas receivers are gone, if McConkey's gone, that might be your best available player. When you look at needs at left tackle and wide receiver. So that might be something they look at there. All right, we are coming in on 1 hour for this episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and close things up here. Hey, appreciate all of you guys joining me for this episode of the Chiefs Zone Podcast. Covered a lot of things here with the Chiefs draft. Went over every pick and also gave some backup picks. If you missed any part of this podcast, the archived video version will be available right away. The audio version will be available later tonight on Apple, Spotify, wherever you can download and listen to podcasts. The Chiefs Zone will be available there. All right, my name is Farzin Vasugian. Thank you for everyone who tuned in on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, wherever it is you tuned in to listen to this podcast. Tomorrow, we will do a live stream before the draft, an hour before the draft. We will do a live stream. We'll chat it up. We'll just chill out. Just talk to each other, see how everyone's feeling. We'll do all of that. And then we will just watch the draft. We will watch it unfold. Not live. I'm not going to do a live stream of that. But we'll let the draft happen. As soon as the Chiefs pick, whether it's number 32 or later, we will do a podcast. If they trade down, if they trade out of the number 32 pick, obviously we'll still do a podcast and react to that as well. So make sure you're following me on Facebook and YouTube. As soon as we go live, you'll be notified. And we will do the Chiefs Zone podcast right away as soon as the Chiefs make their selection in the draft tomorrow. All right, guys, thank you again for downloading and listening to this episode. Spread the word, let your friends know about the podcast. I will talk to you all tomorrow. Peace out. Enjoy.